Blog Talk Radio.
To do the show, so I wouldn't disturb anybody. But I'm doing well, and
awesome.
Just glad to be here.
Yeah, we're here getting ready to interview Million Cortez. How's it going, Million?
I'm well. How you guys doing?
Going pretty good. You staying cool down there, Million?
Yeah, it's only going to be in the hundreds this week. So as long as we don't cross like the 115 border. Once it hits 115, then it gets real hot. But other than that, we're pretty good.
Yeah, after that, you start cooking your food outside on the pavement, and
No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty hot.
You just when you bake cookies on the ground, you got to pick the pebbles out of them. That's the only downside to that.
Wow.
Yeah, make sure ain't no grass or anything on that. Yeah.
Well, we don't have grass here. It can't survive the heat, so.
Just got sand. But anyway, it's good to have you on the show, Megan. It's gonna be a great interview and get to hear how God started your ministry and what God's doing in your life and what He's doing with your radio show. And
definitely.
It's awesome to have you on the show today. And I like to tell everybody, you know, Megan has his own radio show. It's called the Healing the Sick podcast, and he does quite a bit with that, and he touches quite a bit of people's lives with that show. And I really tell everybody, you know, when you get a chance, just check it out. And there's some awesome stuff that he does. He's even interviewed Jacob Phillips here, Annie Jacob.
Yeah, he's really helped us out a lot. And you know, now that we've got him on the show, I mean, I'd like to thank him personally. Like, look, you know, the show has really done a lot, man. Some people have listened to it, man, and now I have somebody made me a radio station out of Florida, and I'm on 24/7 and reaching 127 nations because of what Million did for me with his show. So that's the fruit of what this guy does with his show. I just wanted to mention that.
Awesome, man.
Cool. But maybe we're going to get right into your interview. When did you first meet the Lord? When did the Lord come into your life?
Well, let's see. It was about 8 years ago, and I was raised Catholic, so I kind of knew about God and Jesus and kind of the whole deal. And it was just like many of the other Catholics around the world, it was just kind of there, but I never paid much attention to it. I mean, let's be real. That's just basically how it is. And they called us the Pace Catholics. Pace, like P-A-C-E. Four times a year you go to church, palms, ashes, Christmas, and Easter, and that was it. And so all those years of doing that, it just, you know, it gets to be cold and dead, and you don't think much of it after a while. So my wife and I had moved out to Las Vegas in 2002, and the funny thing I like to say is I came to Sin City and found God, of all places, right? And 2002 we moved here, and it was around 2005, oh, I can't remember. We got married somewhere around there. I can't quite remember right now, but just take my word for it. It was around there somewhere. And after we got back from our honeymoon, I said to my wife, we should probably get our faith in order because there's just something, you know, something pulling at me here, and I don't know what it is. And where my office was at the time was a walk around the corner to a little coffee shop. Now, I'm a bit of a coffee fiend. I'm drinking coffee right now as we talk. And I found this little coffee shop, and there was like a Starbucks across the street, but, you know, I was too lazy to cross the street, so I just went to this little place. And it turned out that this was a little coffee shop owned by a local church. And I decided to finally try this joint, and their vanilla latte was one of the best I've ever had. It was just something about it was phenomenal. So gradually I'd go there every day, every other day, whenever I just needed some comfort, just with, you know, business was rough at the time. And what I noticed about this place was it was always very peaceful and quiet in there. And it was like my little oasis. I would just love to hang in. And the people at the counter were church members, and they would talk to me, and they would, you know, we'd talk about stuff because, you know, I was open to it. And around the time I also spent quite a few years playing around with New Age and occult and weird stuff like that. And, you know, I used to do some kind of goofy stuff. So I've always been open to the supernatural. Well, at that point, we started talking about it, and I was like, look, I just want some answers. You know, I'm tired of all the fluff. I'm not a fluff kind of guy. I don't like that stuff. I don't like to – don't engage my enthusiasm. Don't try to get me all – just tell me what I want to know, and we're good. And these guys did that. You know, they kind of just understood where I was at the time. They, in spite of all my kind of my foul mouth at the time and just the way I approach things, they were just cool about it. You know, they just told me what I wanted to know. And when I brought something up, you know, we'd debate it, and they weren't like closed off about, you know, my questions, which was, that's a big thing with me. So around that time, I started started pulling at me more and more, and I'm like, no, God, what are you doing? I don't want to go to church. You know, you know how that happens. And eventually I told my wife about it because she's a coffee fanatic like I am. And she actually went to the coffee shop. She loved it. And what you'll understand is that women are so vital in faith and ministry because without women, nothing gets done. Let's be real about
that. Wow.
Am I right? You want something done, you send a woman to do it because it gets done, especially a wife.
Wow.
It gets done. And she started going to the church, and she said, well, I want to go see what it is. And she was in the same spot I was. And she started going on Sundays, and I stayed home. Until I finally acquiesced, and I said, okay, I'll go. And And it was not long after that I started attending, and I was taking notes because I wanted to question everything. You know, I'm kind of like that antagonistic type. So I still am in a lot of ways, but I'm there. I'm sanctified now. So at that time, I just kept writing down questions, and the things that I wanted to debate and refute, I couldn't. And the more I researched it, the more clear it was becoming. And I'm like, oh, are you serious? And then it was eventually not long after that that we just decided, okay, you know, when they did the altar call, who wants to be saved? You know, my hand went up in the air and I said, all right, let's do this. And that's when I officially kind of, you know, accepted, so to speak. And the funny part was, I would go so far as to say it maybe wasn't until about 2-3 years after that fact where I actually consider myself to be saved. You know, officially sold out, something happened, I don't know. And it wasn't long after that that once that experience happened to me, I'll tell you a quick story, a little side note on it, and how I knew it locked in was somewhere from that day in the church coffee shop, because it was all in the same place. It was a church and a coffee shop all in the same building. So I was in there that one day, you know, raised my hand, and it was just kind of, just for a couple of years, just kind of floated. And one night I was just working, I was playing on my computer, it was about 2 a.m, and I just had some music playing, and I remember the exact moment. It was He Reigns by the Newsboys. I love that song. And, you know, good old Pentecostal song right there for you. And I was listening to it, and out of nowhere, it was the craziest experience. I stopped what I was doing. I was doing like web design or something at the time, or code. I was writing code or whatever. And I just stopped. I don't know what, something just came over me. I stopped. I put everything down. My hands went up in the air, eyes closed, and it was almost like I left my body for a period. I had no clue where I was. I know nothing about it. I don't know. And all I remember was just in just this empty blank space that had like, there was like no bounds to it. It was like in a good way, I mean, you know, there was no bounds to this. And it just, and as soon as it, I would say in the physical, it was maybe a minute, but in the spirit, knowing, looking back now, it felt like an eternity, man. And when that moment kind of ended and I kind of came back to reality here at my desk, I was so filled with euphoria that I couldn't sleep for about 2 days. And looking back, that was my baptism of the Spirit. That's when it officially hit me. And I knew at that point, all right, that's when something happened. And the funny part is when you're going through it, you don't always realize it. And it's sometimes you got to look back and say, oh, yeah, that was the moment. So it's kind of weird. The way I met the Lord was is that we kind of had an acquaintance my whole life. You know, I always believed in him. I was always cool with it. When the coffee shop incident came along, I started, you know, as an adult, started questioning things. And this is what I like about Christianity is, like, the more you question it, and it's good to question things. The more you question it, the more it holds up to the questioning. And the more something holds up to the questioning, the more you know it's the truth. And it's like you can't refute it after a while. And that's eventually where it came. So that intellectual side of me got satisfied, and it wasn't for, you know, that couple-year period that the spiritual then locked in, and then the whole journey kicked off as to where I'm at now. So kind of circled the airport a little bit, but that's the landing on the runway for you.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome how the Lord, you know, takes somebody, you know, that, you know, they were going into a church, and I know myself, you said you came from a Catholic. I was raised up in a Lutheran church. So I kind of understand what you're talking about there. I mean, you're taken through these classes to know the Bible and all that stuff, but then you really, what I don't understand is, you know, you really don't grasp it. I mean, the Catholic, the Lutheran, all that, they teach you all this stuff, but it don't actually go to your heart. It's just like something that your mom and dad has you to do, and after it's done, and you can take communion, you're good, you know? Something like that, but, you know, when the Lord really touches your heart and really gets there, that's when you move. A lot of times it takes to when you actually, you know, you get older and you can actually open your mind and see what it's really about. Really, you know, really get introduced to the Lord like that. But, you know, when the Lord's looking for you, it could be any way, just like you said, the coffee shop ordeal with you, you know. But that's awesome, man. So
yeah, let me jump in with something else, too. But
go ahead.
One thing that I want to point out to people, and this is – here's the thing that bothers me, and you guys will like – Jacob, you've talked to me a little bit, and you guys know I'm a little blunt, so yeah, prepare for today's show because I may have a few things to say. All right, here's the first thing I want to say. What bothers me is something in the church today that really is on my nerves a little bit is the whole fear-mongering of everything. You know, don't do this because this will happen to you. Be in church because the bad thing. I'm tired of the fear. You know, we're not given a spirit of fear, and I'm not accepting that. I've had people chastise me for drinking coffee. And you know the whole thing about don't drink soda, don't drink coffee. And it's like, and I've heard people say, oh, that people have made coffee an idol in our culture and blah, blah, blah. And you know, maybe they're right to a degree. But I got news for you. Without that coffee culture, I wouldn't have gotten saved in that way. So, you know, you don't necessarily curse the harvest, so to speak.
That's just religious, you know, spirit, man.
Basically, yes. And you know what?
Without coffee, no one would wake up in the morning.
Yeah. And, you know, and I love my coffee. I enjoy it. You know, to me, it's a comfort food. It's a comfort drink, but I'm certainly not addicted to it. I've had times where I just don't drink coffee that day, you know, but I enjoy it. And God takes the desires of your heart, right, and he uses those. And he knew the desire of my heart at that time was I love my gourmet vanilla latte coffees. And he grabbed a hold of that and he used it. So just be careful, anybody listening out there, just be careful what you condemn, because even if it's something seemingly innocuous, God will use it to get to people. So, you know, don't necessarily curse that. So just wanted to throw that out there.
And a lot of times, maybe, you know, maybe God stuck that in you were to draw you to that place at that time, because if you didn't like coffee, you probably wouldn't have met it, you know? So, you know, maybe that was the desire that was put in you, but you never mess with somebody's testimony. You never really, you know, say, well, you know, this thing here wasn't right, or you shouldn't be doing that, because you never know how the Lord is going to use that to draw you to a certain place that you need to be. So it's, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there that will pull up the fingers, and, you know, we pray for those folks, and, you know, God to open their eyes one day. But anyway.
And, you know, you hear testimonies all the time of, like, you see it on TV, someone was at a satanic black mass and Jesus showed up to them and pulled them out of it. Or someone was at an abortion clinic and God spoke to them and they, you know, God will go anywhere he needs to get the job done. So
that's
why I say just kind of be careful what, you know, they're going to be careful what they condemn sometimes.
Everybody
not that I'm in agreement with those things I just mentioned. I'm just throwing that out there. But not that I'm in agreement.
Everybody talks about taking God out of a box, and, you know, don't limit God, but, you know, there's still people in the church that want to do that. So.
I just want to be clear on something. Not that I'm agreeing with those last couple examples I gave you. I'm obviously opposed to those, but I'm just throwing, you know, a couple examples out there because, you know how people can receive stuff, and I mean that in the best way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I actually came out of Unity Church. I was a minister there, and it's a Christian church, but it wasn't teaching all the right things, and I was pulled out of that myself and pulled into full ministry. So, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, how people can judge you, and they don't really know your heart. They don't really know what you're all about, and it's quick to judge. But the Lord uses everybody. He uses people from the Catholic Church, Unity, all that. I mean, there's different flavors of the body of Christ. There's different flavors. We're all to draw those people that was like us. I mean, like if somebody had a drug addiction back in the day, you know, he'll use that person to help somebody on the street. So, you know, God is using you for the type of people that you was designed to touch, using the word, you know. So it's amazing how he uses each one of us in different ways. But, Million, when did you actually start your ministry? When did you get the idea to start your ministry?
Oh, boy. Well, I have been always kind of interested in doing something. And I sort of fell into that Christianitis disease of kind of sitting in church on Sunday, kind of paralyzed. And the idea in my mind was always I would kind of watch the pastor, and you kind of, you know, as a young Christian, you get enamored because, wow, this guy knows everything, and he's so blessed, and he's so the term that I hate, bothers me is, oh, he's so anointed. And I'm like, okay. But and that was my first thing. Oh, I want to be a pastor someday. So that's kind of was the first thing. Oh, I want to give a sermon in church, which, you know, a couple times I've done. And then from there, oh, I want to do this ministry. I want to be on worship team, which I did all that stuff. I want to go on missions trips, did that stuff. And it was always one of those cases where everything I got into, it's like it's so exciting until you get there, and then you get there and they're like, okay, this isn't what I thought it was. And that happens. And let's be real, that happens. And it's okay because maybe that's not where you're supposed to be, and that's totally cool. So I kind of was in that whole church world for a while where, you know, we basically did it all. But that one church I was telling you about, it kind of got to the point where the numbers were kind of low. So, you know, the leadership ends up doing everything. So you're setting up the host team, you're doing the worship team, you're doing the lighting, you're breaking up, you're setting up, breaking down on and the whole deal. And so it's been years and years of just floating around trying things, and then it's like, and I like the idea of healing, and I was like, okay, so I learned all the old style of healing, like, you know, if you have stomach pain, it's because you hate yourself or something like that. And I'm like, and you know, you do that kind of stuff, right? You know, or you know, your great grandfather from 11 generations back, he did this, and you're responsible. You know, it's like, and it was like, you know, God loves you, but he wants you to die right now to show you how cool he is. It's like, really? and that was you know, the stuff that I got into. And surprisingly, I didn't get any healing results. Imagine that. So kind of doing that around, I flirted around with the idea of, like, deliverance ministry, because that fascinates me. And, you know, there's so many schools of belief and so many approaches on how to do it. And it's the problem is with getting into ministry, there's so much chatter that you don't even know who to listen to after a while. So it wasn't until I would say maybe 3 years ago where I officially started. Basically, I'm going to be blunt with you. I left church once and for all, and I said, you know what? I'm done with this. It's not doing it for me. And I went on a journey of just discovery, and I watched, you know, all the movies, the Finger of God movies and all those things, and checked out everything and bumped around YouTube, and eventually stumbled across this guy named Curry Blake. And what I was looking for at the time.
Who loves Curry Blake? Okay.
I was on YouTube and I was looking for a complete training series. That was what I was looking for, because you could find little scattered videos here and there, but I was looking for a whole series that I could follow front to back. And I basically said, this is where I'm going to park my car and I'm going to run with it. And it just happened to turn out that guy was Curry Blake. And I started listening to the DHT, and there's about, I think, 19 videos of it available, freely available, which was really a blessing right there. And once I started watching the first video, about 10 minutes into it, I burst in the other room and told my wife, I'm like, this is it, this is it, this is the guy. He's saying all the stuff that I've been wanting to say for years, and nobody will take me seriously. Finally, I got something. You know, I was going crazy with it. And my wife's looking at me like, yeah, like every other ministry you want to get into. And blah, blah, blah. So 10 minutes into the first video, I said, that's it. This is where I'm parking my car. This is where I'm staying. So with that, I went through the DHT, and then eventually went through Dominion Bible Institute, and then got all, you know, the certifications and everything, and that was it. So then we started just kind of trying out this healing thing, and in that same instance, after the first video where Curry explained how to do the healing, I went in again, another room in my house. My wife's sitting on the couch with a migraine headache, and she got those all the time for days and days on end. And I was trying to, you know, I'm screaming in her ear how excited I am. And, you know, scream at someone with a migraine.
Your wife is a guinea pig, too, like mine is. I tried healing techniques on her.
So that was the thing. She was sitting there on the couch with a migraine. I said, oh, let me try this. You're going to like this. And I just did exactly what Curry said. And would you believe it? The headache went away right on the spot. I was like, oh, that's cool, man. And basically that was the spark that lit the grill on fire, and now we're cooking with gas, you know what I'm saying? And from there, it was just a matter of, well, let's push this thing and see how far we can go. And another friend of mine who also trained, I think he was in the same class as me at Dominion Bible Institute, said, you know, you got to remember that, like, JJLM and healing specifically is not the end of everything. It's just the beginning. And once you get a hold of that fact that, like, Curry teaches about authority and dominion and being able just to take control of the situation and do what you got to do, once you start applying that to every area of faith, oh, man, it works. And that's basically where Dominion Fire came from. I said, okay, let's start doing something a little more formally. Let's have something where we have, like, an umbrella that we can put everything under. And myself, you know, I've played music for many years. I've done radio for many years, and we just did videos, and we just needed somewhere to kind of bring this all together. So Dominion Fire came along, and you could tell from our site that we're more like on the art kind of side of things. You know, I like to build the brands and the logos and the looks. You know, I like that kind of stuff, and that was it. So we built that together with, you know, nice catchy name, good looking logo, and then. Just started putting stuff out there, and you know, basically what I always shoot for is I like quality stuff. You know, I like the radio podcast to sound great. I like the music to sound good. I like the pictures to be clear. You know, it's one of those things where you gotta give the kingdom high quality because, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of junk out there that's not doing anything for anyone. So it's like you have to really kick it up a notch and give it an extra level. You know, if kingdom's all about greatness, then we gotta project that image of, yes, we're gonna be good at these things. So, and that's kind of how Dominion Fire came together. So it's divine healing because that's kind of what we're based in. And then there's creative arts, which kind of support the idea of divine healing. And that's basically it. So that's our launch pad for everything. And then from there, we just kind of whatever supernatural move was going to happen is going to happen. And we just roll with it.
Awesome.
All right, Millian, I got a question for you. You know, now that you've done said all that, let's get to some really good stuff. Not that what we haven't heard has been really awesome, but
okay.
Tell us about some of the healings that you've seen that are pretty notable.
Okay, I'll give you two that come to mind. Now, one is bittersweet and one is off the charts cool. So let me start with the bittersweet one. We had a girl raise up from the dead. She was a friend of a friend, and her situation is that about 2 years ago, they asked me to go out and pray for her, and she had three simultaneous autoimmune conditions. I can't remember. I think one was lupus, one was polymyositis, and there was another one which I don't remember right now. It was like a trio of things that she had, and it caused her all kind of pain and back pain, and her kidneys shut down, and she had two dead fingers that were getting ready to amputate, and it was a whole big mess of stuff. So I went over to her house one night, and it was me and a friend and her mom, and we just started blasting that thing. So at that time, we got her back pain to stop. We got her up and running, walking around, that first night, she... Two weeks later, she went to the doctor. The doctor pretty much said, not sure how to tell you this, but your kidneys are repairing themselves. And basically, I guess that doesn't happen. So his immediate response was, yeah, we don't know what to do. We're going to send you to a specialist. So, okay. And I forgot to tell you, is on that same night that we were praying, she starts like opening and closing her fingers. And I'm kind of looking at her, and she starts crying her eyes out. Now, at the time, I didn't know what was happening. But she's crying her eyes out, then her mom starts crying her eyes out, then her friend starts crying her eyes out, and then I figure, well, I'm kind of getting emotional, so I start crying I'm not sure why, but I start crying my eyes out too. And it turns out that her dead fingers right there on the spot came back to life. They started moving again, and she could open and close her hands, so that was like a big thing for her. They were actually going to schedule her to have those fingers amputated, so they came back to life. So that was, you know, a miniature form of resurrection, you know. So here, a little side note, when they say raise the dead, if you have dead fingers, dead organ, dead cells, that's resurrection. You're bringing those back to life. So don't discount that stuff. So she actually, over the course of the year, started getting her health back, started getting back up and running. She was back to work part-time. So things were going well. And I didn't hear anything for about a year until one day I get a text that she started having heart attacks. And I was like, oh, goodness. And she was a young girl. She was in her 30s. And she fell in her bathroom at home, and nobody was there at the time, so it was a while before she was discovered. Well, needless to say, kind of long story short here, she ended up in the hospital, and she was in a case where she was technically brain dead. And heart problems, she was on full life support, like anything life support you could think of, she was on it. And about 2 weeks before that, my wife was kind of praying on it. We were talking about dead raising and that area because we hadn't seen that yet. And I said, God, this is the year we're going to do it. And what God gave to my wife was kind of like a prophetic word. He told her, go pray for people on life support because without the life support, they're technically dead. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'll go with that. And I got to the hospital that day, and I'm kind of friends with her mom. And before I went in there, I said, listen, I got to ask you a question just for our records here. I said, is she on life support? And she says, yes. I said, is she considered brain dead? She said, yes, she is. And I'm like, okay, that's all I need to know. So we went in there. It was just me, actually, for a while, about 2 to 3 hours. All I did is I got right up in her face, and I said, in Jesus' name, you're going to live and not die. Now get up. Get up. Wake up. Go. You know, And I got right up in her ear. Wake up. Come on. Come back. Come back. 2 hours of that. Yeah? And eventually, another guy came into the room. He was from a local church. He was just there to pray. And out of nowhere, her body just kind of jolts. I mean, it looks like somebody hit her with an electric shock. And her body
wow.
kind of jolts. She's moving all around and all that stuff. And but she was still not conscious. Okay, so at the time I didn't think much of it, but there was basically brain activity happening at that point from being brain dead. Okay, that's coming back to life. Now, after that, in the next couple days, it turns out that she was removed from all the life support, all the breathing machine, everything came off. So her body came back to life. Now, unfortunately, what happened in this mess, and I don't have the answer for this, and I just have to have the humility to tell you I don't know the answer to this, but everything came back to life, but she wasn't fully conscious yet. And it turns out that when she fell in the bathroom, there was a bleed in her brain that the doctors missed. And I didn't know this at the time, and I didn't get a chance to make it back. So she was technically life support brain dead. We got her to come back. She made it another 3 days and then ultimately succumbed to the brain bleed separate from everything else. So it was one of those things where it was bittersweet because we got what we wanted. But and listeners and everybody out there, I'm going to share a quick little thing for you. When you're doing healing ministry, one thing to be careful of, when you're so singularly focused on one thing, the enemy will broadside you from another direction when you won't realize it. It's happened to us multiple times. You've got to be on guard for everything. And that was the thing. So it was bittersweet because we got her back and she was on the road to recovery. And then this next thing hit out of nowhere, I guess, jumped back on her and ultimately took her out. So I was just excited at what had happened, but then I was heartbroken at the result of it. So it was, like I said, it was bittersweet. And, you know, her family was very grateful and, you know, they got peace out of the situation. So, you know, and she was saved. So I'm not super, you know, upset about it, if that makes sense. But at the same time, I wish I could have done more for the family. But just that 2-3 days was that chain of events was ridiculous. So it was kind of crazy. So I had a dead person raise up, which was wild. And then one of my favorite stories to tell was about 3 to 4 months ago. I was at a local ministry event. There's a couple ministries here in Las Vegas that we support and we work with. And one is supports foster parents and foster children. Well, at this event, they had a group of young ladies who are with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and they were getting ready to go to Costa Rica. They were had their team prepared, and the girl that's the leader, she's kind of gone out with me on a couple of healing calls and all that stuff. And she was always kind of a little hesitant of me if I was legit or not, and I understand it. You know, it's she even said it herself, you can fake a lot of things in healing ministry, and it's true, you can. But there was this one girl, it was towards the end of this event, and everybody's milling around, and, you know, I'm bored. So when I'm bored, I'm like, anybody here need healing? You know, just kind of make that announcement. And so these young girls started stepping up for healing. And as I started praying for one, you know, got her healed, I'd say, all right, let me show you how to do this. And then the next girl would step up. So I would kind of like do the chain reaction thing, just showing the next person how to do it and the next person how to do it. Eventually got to this young lady who wouldn't tell me what her situation was. She just kind of walked up and I said, you know, she just said, I want prayer. And I'm like, okay. I said, what's the situation? And she didn't say anything. And, you know, I thought maybe, well, it's kind of personal. She didn't want to say it. So I said, okay, I don't know what I'm praying for. I said, all I'm going to do right now is I'm going to just blast you with the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for you that he just slams you right now. And whatever he says, we're going to run with it. So I grabbed her by the hand, you know, Curry Blake style, grabbed her by the fingertips. And, specifically for this reason, because I just started releasing life into her. Just release life is all I did. I said, Holy Spirit, fire of the Holy Spirit is all I did. And maybe 30 seconds later, she dropped like a bag of potatoes to the ground. You know, and young girl caught her. And so she's now laying on the ground, totally racked out. And I thought to myself, that's kind of cool. I love when that happens. And so I kind of kneeled down beside her. You know, I'm talking to her, just praying for a little more. Just a general blessing kind of thing. And she turns and looks at me and says, have you ever prayed for a deaf ear before? Now, I realized why she didn't answer me. She couldn't hear me. I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sitting on the ground next to her, and I say, you know, and she says, have you ever prayed for a deaf ear? And I'm like, well, let's do it. I said, I didn't want to say no to her because I didn't want her to lose confidence. So I just said, let's go for it. You know, I just gave her an evasive answer. And so what I did was I actually just took my thumb. I stuck it in her ear, as awkward as that was. And I just said, in Jesus' name, ear be opened. Go. And I just kind of started snapping my fingers next to her ear. And she starts reacting to it very lightly, but she was reacting. I did it a couple more times, and I just said, come on, ear open. And it got to a certain degree.
That's awesome.
Very quick delivery.
That's awesome.
It's like it's what I call a third heaven position, which I'll explain it another time. But I was standing there, and I just basically said, right now, from third heaven, it's like, I don't care who you are. I don't care why you're here. I said, you come up and out right now. Don't talk to me about it. Go tell Jesus about it. I ain't interested. And as soon as I did that, she starts like kind of twitching on the ground, and she's like kind of getting all like funky and whatnot. And she says to me, she goes, there's something coming up on my back. I said, well, that's kind of cool. And I said, okay. I said, you spirit of deafness, you get out right now. I said, I don't care who you – I did the whole speech. I don't care why you're here. I'm not your problem. Jesus is your problem. Go tell him about it. Go to the foot of Jesus. Get your judgment. And as soon as I did that, the thing lifted right off of her. And now she's getting this freaky look on her face. And I kneel back down next to her. I get right up in her ear and I say, can you hear me? She looks at me and says, say it again. I'm like, all right, something's happening. And I'm snapping my fingers right near her going, open, open, open. I did it like 10 times. Every time I'd snap my fingers and yell open, her whole body would like, it was like jolt of electric. And the cool part was is she looks at me, gets this crazy look on her face and says, pray for the other ear, pray for the other ear. Well, it turns out her other ear, the first ear only had like a fraction of hearing, so she was legally considered deaf. The other ear, I think, was she had hearing, but it was losing it gradually over time. So what I did was she says, pray for my other ear. I said, okay. So what I did is I got around the other side of her. I put both hands on each of her ears, and I just, you know, covered them over. And I just said, right now, in Jesus' name, all deafness, go. I said, just get out, go. Right now, go. I don't want to hear it, go, you know. And as soon as I took my hands away, one of the girls that were sitting across from her, maybe about 6-7 feet away from her, played a ringtone on her phone. The moment she played that ringtone, this young lady on the floor got this look on her face. You know, the moment the chain breaks is what I'm saying. You know the face if you've seen it. She got the face, the oh, my God, this really just happened. She says to me, she goes, oh, my God, I can hear it. I can hear it. I can hear it. And she kept playing the ringtones. And she says, I'm hearing the same in both ears now. So she got both of her ears open right there on the spot. It took a little bit of commanding, a little bit of dominion, and there was a spiritual issue which we had to deal with. So, you know, you know what you have to do in those cases, you have to be – you can't be a one-trick pony with these things. You have to kind of look all around in the big picture and see what's going on as best you can and try to – you know, like I said, the enemy will broadside you. You have to kind of be on guard to see what's coming your way. And, you know, it's experience, it's wisdom, it's just something you got to work at. And after a while, you pick up on these things, and it was just a case of that. I just kind of knew where to go with it. And so after that, now it gets really interesting because now she has hearing in both of her ears. This girl's still sitting on the floor. Now, as I'm standing there, I turn and look at her, and on her face, I see a bright golden sparkle. I was like, okay, that's interesting. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you wearing makeup by any chance? And she says, oh, yeah, I am. And I'm like, oh, okay, no big deal. I dismissed it. She said, but it's only a little bit of eyeliner, nothing else. I said, okay, hold on. I said, come here a second. I looked on closer. I started seeing on her face one sparkle, two sparkles, three. They started multiplying right there. I was like, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? And stood up, I'm not kidding. This is crazy, guys. As she stood up, it was like she looked like a disco ball when she stood up. All you saw was gold sparkles covering her from head to toe, face, chest, hands, you name it. And what had happened was these girls that were going on this mission trip, they all witnessed this. They saw her get her hearing back. The girl that I was friends with, the leader of this group, she says to me, you know, you could fake a lot in healing. You cannot fake deaf ears being opened. She says, I curse my unbelief. So something, the chains broke in every place possible. And I know this is a bit of a touchy topic with people, the whole gold dust thing. And there's parts of it I'm not crazy about, and then we talk about that another time. But this was a legit thing that happened to her. Okay, she was covered head to toe, sparkling all over the place. And this troop of girls were stunned. And you know how young girls are; they were screaming, jumping from this building all the way out to the parking lot to their car. All you can hear was girls screaming, celebrating, praising, worshiping, thank you, Jesus. And it was the most amazing thing.
Man.
Oh, it was crazy, dude. And I was more stunned that it actually happened. I mean, we've seen gold dust before. It's, you know, it's not a big deal. And it was just in this case, the way it happened to her was just wild because I didn't call it out. It just happened. And in her case, you know, about, what, 10 girls witnessed this. And the cool part about it is they were going on a mission trip to, I think, Costa Rica, and they were going out there to pray for sick people. So this was a huge boost for them. So in this case, they went back to their YWAM base, and, I watch on social media, and they're just to confirm, they're saying, oh, yeah, I saw a girl's ears open last night, and deaf girl got her hearing back. So I'm getting all these confirmations, and I'm like, oh, no, that's pretty cool. You like hearing that stuff. Well, about a month and a half after that, so this girl, let me back up. This girl gets her hearing back. She was totally floored. Everybody there was just floored, and they're just miracle in progress. Well, about a month and a half later, I was at my friend that runs that ministry, I was over his house for dinner, and we're out back and we're talking, and he says, did you hear the follow-up with that girl you prayed for? And I'm like, aha. Uh-huh. And right away I'm thinking something went wrong, you know? And I'm like, oh, what happened? He goes, yeah, she was tested by the medical staff over at the base they were at. Yeah, they actually medically confirmed that she got her hearing back. And I was like, yes! She got her hearing back, and she got a crazy manifestation miracle, and then at the same time, we got it medically verified. And then, from what I hear after the fact, is a bunch of those girls in Costa Rica saw all kind of crazy healings. There was also another group, they went somewhere in Asia, and I can't remember where it was, but they saw crazy healings. They saw all kind of like stuff being restored, put back in place. All the stuff that God demonstrated that night, they went out and did on their own, and it propagated itself. It multiplied. And it was really, really wild just because of, just how the whole thing shaped out. So that was a big part of that was not so much, me putting it on display, which is, that's kind of what our ministry does. We put God's goodness on display. But the reason we do that is to encourage others to do the same. And these girls ran with it. Now, what was really funny, and I'm sorry for being long here, but there's so much to the story, is that another lady who decided to kind of train a little with our ministry and kind of hang out with us a little bit, I told her who we are and what we did, and I told her that story. She actually emailed someone at YWAM to kind of vet us a little bit, which I thought was great. And the person at YWAM confirmed that, yes, what you heard is true. So we've gotten all kind of confirmation on the story, and it's one of the ones I love to tell the story just because of all the different facets that were involved in it. And it was a great experience. Just both of those were great experiences. You obviously want the happier one in every case, but, sometimes it goes how it goes, guys.
It's awesome, man. Now, tell me your connection to the royal family with Pete Cabrera. I know you did some stuff with him, too.
Yeah, Pete Cabrera was one of those guys that I started watching videos of when I first started learning about healing. And he was just one of those guys. He was just videotaping it, putting it out there, and demonstrating techniques, which is what I like. I just want to see how it's done, and then, I'll figure it out from there. So,
Amen. That's great, man.
Family. And I just watching their videos and just seeing what they had to say. And another little side note is, even if there's people you don't agree with, hear what they have to say, because everybody has a piece to the puzzle. So just hear what people have to say. You don't have to blindly agree, but just hear them out. And that's the approach I took. I just said, all right, let me see what everybody has to say and just kind of, pull out the gold as we need. And as this time went on, I was just kind of watching it, and I'm like, all right, this is good. So not long after that, we got the podcast up and running, and I just started inviting different people on the show, and we got a lot of the royal family guys. Tom Fisher came on, and Pete Cabrera came on as well. And as Pete and I started talking, we started kind of building a little bit of a relationship. We had a rapport going, and him and I are on pretty good terms. So I just try to help him out wherever I can. And then as I was progressing along, just doing other stuff, I understood that he did ordinations, which I'm not super crazy about needing documents or papers or anything like that, but it does open a lot of doors with a lot of people. And it's just, sometimes you got to render to Caesar what he wants. And sometimes you go in places, they want paperwork, and that's just how it goes sometimes. And that's kind of how I approached it. I said, Pete, I understand you do this. I would just like to have this, because when he did it for me, it was kind of like a once and for all thing. So you did the paperwork once, and now you're basically set. So it takes that element off the table for me. And at the same time, I've gotten to know a lot of the royal family guys. We've interviewed a lot of them on the show, and I try to support them whenever I can. I love their work, love what they do, and Yeah, it's like between, you know, JGLM and the training, and then Royal Family with how they actually execute as far as like videos and demonstration. It kind of like a hybrid of all that stuff together, and it's yeah. So that combination is just really what's worked for me.
That's awesome. That's kind of how I got started too. I went to Curry Blake. I watched a lot of his videos. And I took, you know, some of his training videos and stuff. I actually ordered from him, and then Pizza Bro was another one I kicked in. So I think everybody that God is pulling into the power of God, that he always starts them off with those two for some reason. And they've got amazing things to teach you and all type of things, you know, educational-wise that you can learn off of these people. And I think that, you know, we should have an open mind. I mean, the Lord used many people in many different ways, and each of their technique can teach you a little something different than what you didn't know. You know, it's all good. But it's awesome that, you know, how your ministry is touching people. Now, let us know about your podcast a little bit. How you do that?
Well, I have been a radio guy since about 1999. I was out in the Philadelphia area, which southern New Jersey is where I was living at the time, and I was an IT guy. So I was teaching web design courses in two different colleges, excuse me, in New Jersey and in Philadelphia. And one of my students was he was an engineer at a radio station, and he was telling me about how there was these radio stations called brokered stations where you could just buy airtime, you could go on there, do your show, and that would be it. So me and another partner out there, we got a little show going about tech and IT because it was big at the time. And and once you get bit by the radio bug, you know how it is. You just can't stop. So over time, as I was starting to learn more about radio, you know, traditional radio was going a little by the wayside. But internet radio and online stuff was just starting to heat up. So when I moved to Vegas, we started pioneering some of the online live 24/7 streaming talk radio formats. And, you know, we have I was one of the founders of that here in Las Vegas. And we've had some other people that kind of, we inspired them to get their thing going. So we had a bit of an effect that way. But over time, you know, you go from internet radio and streaming to podcasting with iPods and mobile devices now, and it just became a natural progression. So with all the radio experience that I have and with the hosting experience I have, and I'm really, really good at production and just audio quality. So it just came all together, and I said, you know, there's people doing videos, there's people doing sermons, and what bothered me was one of the things that really made me crazy was is that when I would go to, let's say, a ministry website or a certain minister, preacher, whoever, and I wanted to hear some audio, basically all it was they recorded a sermon that they gave to their church. That's really all these podcasts ever are. That, you know, to me, that's not a podcast. You're just recording sermons. So my approach was, I said, why don't we do talk radio that's geared towards healing the sick? You know, that's our 99% focus is, let's do a talk radio program where I take a person, make them the star of the show, kind of hang back, let them talk, and it becomes not only a conversation with each other, but we address the audience directly. And there's something big about that personal connection. So you'll always hear me on the show saying, you know, listeners, think about this or check this out. Or, you know, I always make a point to address my audience because they're the important people in this. You know, they're the ones that are the most receptive, obviously, because they're listening. But they are the key to unlocking it all. Because I hear testimonies all the time of, you know, your podcast did so much for me and I got back out to heal the sick and now I'm training people. And, you know, it lights that fuse. Because there's that personal connection, and that's what's sorely missing when you listen to a lot of those sermons. So with that, I decided that we're just going to keep rolling with this. And what I'm trying for right now is the streak where how many shows can we do without repeating a guest? And there's plenty. We're up to 53 right now. I got another 3 set up, so we got a way to go yet. And so we kind of have a set format for how a guest comes in. We give them a set bunch of questions and just kind of have a conversation. And that's really all it is. We converse with each other and we address the audience and we try to cover every base. We talk about a testimony, tell us something crazy that you had, tell us about yourself, your background experience, and then teach us about something. What's on your heart? Share something with us and then pray for us to end the show. And that's really all it is. It's those four main elements. And, you know, the audience seems to really like it and respond to it. And I, you know, get a lot of good feedback. And it's really been a trademark of our ministry And our ministry is, you know, being a voiceover guy and a radio guy and a musician, you know, sound and audio is just our thing. So, you know, you gotta focus on what you're best at and, you know, branch everything off of that. So that's the podcast. You know, it's on iTunes and it's on our website at dominionfire.com. The full catalog is available for free. So anybody wants it, they can just go grab it and share it with whomever they want. And it, yeah, it's been a great thing, and planning a couple more things once I decide what our official format and structure is going to be, but it's just going to keep growing from here. So that's the podcast.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome how you're using all your radio experience and all the education you've got over the years to put it in stuff like that to, you know, lift up the kingdom of God, to use that to really, really expand the kingdom in your own way, basically, you know. And that's what a lot of people do, you know, whatever their specialty is. A lot of times God uses that specialty that you have to magnify for his glory. And that's what he's doing for you. That's awesome.
And, you know, the one thing, too, is that, and I mentioned this earlier, is that I'm very big on, you know, professionalism with, you know, the presentation, with the sound, with the look. Being an old web designer for, 15, 16 years, you know, I have graphic design ability. I have audio production ability. So I always try to make a point to do the absolute best quality work, because the way I look at it is, why should websites that have nothing to do with God have all the best stuff? You know, why not? Why should they have everything and not me? We're the ones entitled to it. Why are we not doing it, you know? And so I always try to make sure that, you know, the graphics always look good, the website always runs smoothly, the podcast always sounds great, any graphics or T-shirts we do just look sharp. And, you know, a guy one time commented on something we did, and it was such a nice compliment. He said, you know, he said, I thank you for the professionalism that you bring to the kingdom. And that was really kind of the watershed moment. I was like, yeah, that I totally get what you're saying, and that's, you know, somebody summed it up for me. And it's like, it's so important to bring that professionalism because, you know, so many people are suspicious of Christians to begin with. And it's one of those things where you have to just present yourself as openly and as professional as possible and as cleanly as possible. And that's really what I strive for. It's just all about, you know, professional and open and open book, man.
That's awesome, man. So, it was great to talk to you today. We got to learn a lot about your ministry and all the things that you're doing. And it's amazing to hear the testimonies that you actually, you know, that the Lord did through you and healed the people. It's awesome, man.
Yeah, we one last quick thing. You know, here in Vegas, it gets kind of a bad rap for, you know, being Sin City. So I've changed it. It's Saint City. And here in Saint City, you wouldn't, again, God will go wherever he's got to go. And it was about, I want to say 3-4 weeks ago, we had a friend come into town and had a whole bunch of people visit his hotel here in town. And on the eighth floor of the Mandalay Bay, we had a huge healing revival breakout. We had healings. We had baptisms. We had baptism of the Spirit. We had prophesying, you know, deliverance, you name it. It's like in this hotel room, there's like 15, 20 people, and just God exploded in this room. And on our site, we did there's videos on YouTube. There's Facebook postings and all that stuff with photos and all that. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, people say, oh, it must be hard in Vegas. You know, it's the same everywhere, guys. It's the same God. It's the same everything. You know what? Maybe the culture and the people are a little different, yeah, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's the same God, and that's more powerful than the culture. So, you know, as far as being Vegas, it's weird here. People are kind of odd, no doubt about it. But, you know, God will do what he's got to do. You just do your part, and he'll do his, and that's basically it.
You just leave an open door for the Lord, and he'll show up. But, that's awesome, man. Now, can you plug some of your websites and your website for your show and all that?
Okay, we got dominionfire.com is the main site. That's kind of the headquarters for everything. Facebook.com/dominionfire is the page for it. There's my Twitter is @HealingMinister. Now, if you like your Christianity a little more edgy and snarky, that's probably where you'd want to go because that's what I do there. And YouTube.com/DominionFireChurch is where you'll find our videos where we highlight some of the different ministry things we do and some of our testimonies and healing demonstrations and things like that. And there's an Instagram, too, which I forget where it is, but it's all on the website, so you can bounce over there. And you can also email us at DominionFireChurch@gmail.com.
Amen. Amen. Megan, it's great to talk to you today, and maybe we'll have you on some other time, man.
There's a small fee for having me back. I just want to...
Okay.
I'm just messing with you. My small fee is like a can of Coke Zero. Can we do that? Can we work that into the contract somewhere?
Okay. Coke Zero. But, it's awesome to have you on here and hearing about all the things happening down there in Las Vegas. And that was pretty awesome about, you know, a little revival you had in that hotel. That was pretty cool there. But,
yeah, it was wild, man.
It's always awesome to, I think, Jacob, he had to go back to the conference, so he's calling you off air right now. But I'm sure he's going to come back and listen to the rest of the show later on today. He goes to quite a bit of conferences, and we fit him in when we can. But it's awesome to hear you, and, we'll come back some other time and bring you on for a topic. And
yeah, definitely, man.
It'll be awesome. Well, you have a great day, Million, and I want to tell everybody to check out this show. We're going to post it in our library, and it will be on Facebook. Just check out the show anytime you want to. You can hear this full interview with Million Cortez, and share it to whoever you need to share it to. I'm sure this interview is going to touch many a person and hearing what the Lord's doing through our lives. And just be sure to go to The Healing Life on Facebook and like the page. And on this show, go to the follow button, push follow, where we know how many people are checking out the show. I'd say God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
I'm coming back to the start, where you found me. I'm coming back to your heart. Now I surrender, take me, 'cause this is all I can bring. Here we go, come on.